Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. I'm going to tell you what. I was sitting at my desk trying to figure out about what I would preach. And after an entire survey of the Bible, I thought perhaps we had covered everything. So I was a little leery of diving back in, but then I thought back to Sunday school. The first time I heard the story of Jonah, Noah, coats of many colors, I heard it in a different way than I hear it now. So though it may have only been 6 or 8 weeks ago, we're going to jump back into the story of the prophet Elijah. We find ourselves in 1 Kings, chapter 19, if you want to follow along. Elijah had just come off fresh from his triumph over the priests of Baal. Everyone was gathered for a contest. 450 priests of Baal had set up their altar. They had the bull ready to sacrifice. And Elijah engaged in a little mockery. No, go ahead. Sacrifice the bull, call on Baal. Go ahead, hope it works out for you. And they called and called and called and called upon Baal, and nothing happened. And Elijah said, well, perhaps he's gone for a stroll. Perhaps he is indisposed. Maybe he's taking a nap. But why don't you go ahead and call again? And they called, and they called, and nothing happened. So Elijah took the stones of the altar to Yahweh, the God of Israel, and built it back up, for it had been destroyed. In this time, loyalty to Yahweh had wavered in favor of all these other exotic gods of the land. So he built it back up, got the bull ready, and said, you know what, why don't you go ahead and just soak the thing with water? Sounded fairly confident. Fire fell from the sky and consumed the offering. Immediately, the 450 priests of Baal hit the ground and said, Yahweh is Lord. Now, Elijah, well, you could say he had some zeal. I think he was excited that he finally had won. So he said, capture every one of them and take their lives. All 450. King Ahab was a terrible king, and his terrible queen was Jezebel. Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done. She sent word by messenger to Elijah and said, I'm going to do to you what you did to them. And that's where we find ourselves. Elijah took off for the wilderness, and he hunkered down. He cried out to the Lord, kill me now. Let's be done with it. I'm no better than my forefathers, my ancestors. Just let's have it done with. But an angel of the Lord came and gave him food and said, take this and eat. And so he did. And then he took a nap. And the angel, after a while, roused him and said, seriously, get up and eat, because you need to have food for the journey. So he set off on a hike of 40 days and 40 nights, a solid biblical number, and he found his way to Mount Horeb, where he was to meet the Lord in the wilderness, just as Moses had. The Lord told him, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind, a wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. We don't know silence anymore. When Elijah heard the sheer silence, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered the Lord, I have been very, very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. And they're seeking my life now to take it away. It was all about Elijah. He moaned in the desert, Lord, take my life. Before they do it, why don't you do it? I'm the faithful one. I'm the only one left. Even after he had seen these magnificent wonders pass by him and met the Lord in person, he still moaned. I'm the only one left. Your people have gone away from you. The altars are crashed. I'm the only one left. Woe is me. And now they want to kill me. I don't know if any of you have ever felt, and maybe particularly these days, that you're the only one that sees sense in the world. Now, if I look at my phone, pick up the newspaper, look at the news on the computer, and I stay huddled down in that little bubble, I would think the world is ending. Tyranny is to come. Threats are all around us. The world is falling apart. And I may be the only one that sees clearly and has sense in the entire world. Lord God, your church is abandoning you. They're settling for convenience and safety over obedience to you. Woe is me. But God does something surprising. Instead of speaking to Elijah's woes, he gives them a very practical list of things to do. Sort of a, really, get up. There's stuff to do. The Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael over king as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. So he's going to kick out Ahab. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mahalah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. You get what the Lord is saying there? Elijah, not only are you not the only one, there are 7,000 more who are still faithful. The Lord tells him, I've got this. So Elijah set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. Then Elijah said to him, Go back again, for what have I done to you? He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, and using equipment from the oxen, he gave it as an offering and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. You remember the end of the story of Elijah? He doesn't die. The Lord doesn't end his life, but he does take his life. A chariot of fire comes down from the sky, and Elijah is scooped up and taken to heaven alive. You could hear it in the psalm that was read this morning. Woe is me. God, you were faithful, but now you've rejected me, and I'm frightened. But in the end, the Lord is faithful still. It's easy for us to become wrapped up in all the things that we think we're responsible for. That instead of God being sovereign over the universe, it's all up to us. That if we just work hard enough, we can accomplish it. We can establish God's kingdom on earth. Well, you know what? I know folks that are now facing the ends of their lives, who, when faced by a theology of fear of hell, thought there must be another way. And they worked hard, very hard. And now, at the end of their lives, they find themselves wondering, why did the world not change like we thought it would? Because of the things we did. But I hope they're open. I hope you're open to the message that comes from the Lord. I've got this. You are doing what you're supposed to do. You have done what you were supposed to do. But I've got this. As Malika was sharing about the wild ginger, what immediately came to mind was something very small and seemingly insignificant, but illustrates for us exactly how God is in charge of the world. When seeds of wild ginger and bloodroot are ready to pop out, they don't just fall right there. The ants come. Because these seeds are surrounded by little food packets, and they take them back to their nests. And they eat the little food packets that are wrapped around the seeds. And the seeds are left to grow. Sometimes they can carry them 20, 30, 50 feet. I found them in my garden nowhere near where I planted them. Kits, hygiene kits, go out into the world like seeds carried by workers, MCC, with the workers of the organizations that they partner with, and they go out and they're placed far away. Comforters likewise, and they sprout and grow and show the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. So don't give up. But don't think it's all about us. When you find yourselves at that moment where you think, I am the only one left in the world who has any sense, hear the voice of God in that sheer silence. Actually, take time to shut off the devices, the radio, put the paper down, and listen. And hear God saying, it's not just you. I have 7,000 others who are yet faithful, who have not bowed down to Baal, who have not kissed the feet of the idol. There's work to be done, and here's your to-do list. In the sheer silence, listen for the voice of God. Amen.